This is a News Laundry podcast, and you're listening to Awful and Awesome.
Hello, hello. This is the Awful and Awesome Entertainment Wrap, episode 350. This is Rajesh Sen.
And this is Abbas Momin.
And to mark this moment, we have left Abhinandan out of the podcast so that there's some consistency for our listeners. You all shouldn't get shocked every 10 episodes. It's too much of a shock, I feel. So Abbas is here to more than fill Abhinandan's narrow position, which he's left. But we have a lineup of pretty interesting stuff, I would say. We have Ferrari, then we have Avesham, Fahad Fasil's film, and we have Ripley, the miniseries, which is on the talented Mr. Ripley. So I also saw 10 minutes, by the way, of, not 10 minutes, maybe 5 minutes, of Arbaaz Khan's son's podcast. It's called Dumb Biryani. Then it took me 2 weeks after, 1 week after I saw it, suddenly in the middle of the night, I was like, it's a pun on Dumb Biryani. That had slipped me.
But is this the one where he's sitting like with his dad and brothers only?
His dad.
Yes, like all these stars are doing that.
They just sit with them. Families.
Navya Nanda does that where she sits with her mom.
So even I'm going to, when mom is in town, I'll say, you and I'll do a podcast. Let's call my aunt. Let's call the aunt's friend, like that. So it's so bad, that podcast. It is not funny. So I just felt like it's a slur on what we are doing. But
I know, man.
You must.
But 350 episodes of this and they get all the
That's
eyeballs.
What. See? I think they've got advertisers and all also. They must have got Amul Banyan and
of
all
course,
that must
be
doing. Yeah. Should we start with Ferrari first?
Yes. But to start with Ferrari, you should talk like this.
You have to talk like this. So we have a lot of Italian stuff because even Ripley is basically, it's primarily based in Italy. And Ferrari is obviously based in Italy. So Ferrari is the story of Enzo Ferrari and his wife Laura Ferrari. So I know it's supposed to be Laura Ferrari because I had a colleague whose name was... Laura something, I forgot it now, and she said this is the Italian.
Actually, we are Hindi speakers, so we
should
be really
careful
while saying
it. So I will say Laura Ferrari after this, but it's directed by Michael Mann, who has made some fabulous films like Last of the Mohicans. Heat is a spectacularly good film, which if people haven't watched, I think you definitely should watch it. And the lineup of stars in Heat especially was just fabulous, And he's also made, what were the others that we said he's made? Collateral, I haven't watched.
Collateral, Last of the Mohicans. There was a film called Public Enemies with Johnny Depp.
And Ali, where Will Smith plays Muhammad Ali, which was an excellent film again. So he makes films after like big gaps. Of course.
Back when Will Smith used to hit people only in movies.
Yeah, only in films.
Yes.
So this is about Enzo Ferrari and how, what would you say, the business life of Ferrari, where Ferrari sort of, they are not getting enough orders for their cars. They are losing out to Maserati. Things are basically going south. Ferrari is played by Adam Driver, who I think is excellent in the role. Like you believe he's Italian.
Yeah,
that way I'm saying. It's quite... Right. And Penelope Cruz...
He's playing much older than he is in actual life. I think the time of life that Enzo Ferrari... The time of life Enzo Ferrari is portrayed in this film, I think he's in his 50s.
Yeah.
Whereas Adam Driver, I think, is in his late 30s. So they've tried their best to do it with makeup. But if you compare it with the real Enzo Ferrari at that time, there's a marked difference between the two.
And Laura Ferrari is played by Penelope Cruz, who is Spanish. What is Penelope Cruz in real?
She's Spanish.
Yeah, she's Spanish. And then there is... Enzo Ferrari
Shailene Woodley,
who is his girlfriend, mistress in the film. And there is my like heartthrob absolutely, which is McDreamy, which is Patrick Dempsey. So anyone who's Grey's, anyone who's watched Grey's Anatomy will understand the charm of Patrick Dempsey. So when I saw him as one of the drivers, he's the white-haired one. So when I saw him, I was like, oh, he must be having a pivotal character. Either he's going to die horribly or he's going to win beautifully. It can't be anything in between, because otherwise it did not make sense why Patrick Dempsey would have taken this role. But so we basically see the film when there is this very well-known race which happens in, so like the Le Mans, thing which Michael Fassbender takes part in every year. You know this, right?
Yeah, yeah, I know. He's also a race car driver.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it happens in France because it's got
Le Mans. And I've been told it's not Le, it's Le, all that. But whatever, Le Mans happens in France and it's a 24-hour. It's almost like a endurance test for these drivers. And similarly, this is before this race was like, it no longer takes place in Italy. There was a race called the Mille Miglia, which is an Italian endurance road race, which happens all over the country. So they are driving across cities and towns, and you're driving through roads which are not, that's the same as Le Mans, you're driving through normal roads. And Italy's roads are as bad as India's roads in a large part. Yeah. And the entire story is basically about how they are trying to save the company. He has, out of some misplaced loyalty, he has written, he had all his assets in his wife's name, but the wife and he, his first child has died at the age of 20, I think, or 23.
I think 24.
Yeah, and 24.
A considerable part of the film revolves around the domestic drama where his wife, played by Penelope Cruz, finds out about this other secretive family that he was living with. So, I think that's the one part of the film where I thought they're trying to draw some parallels about how he was going through struggles in his professional life, but also his personal life. But you told me you liked this film. So tell me why you liked it.
Okay.
And then I'll tell you why I had some mixed feelings about it.
Okay, so I'm not a race car fan at all.
Same.
In fact, think it is nonsensical and a waste of... Like when people tell me we are going to watch the F1, unless you own the bloody cars, I don't see why you should be going, because your ears are like going to be your... hearing is going to be damaged forever, and you can't make out anything. They're just zipping by
exactly.
Like that.
Exactly. That's my issue. I'm like, if you go to see this race live, you'll only see them pass by where you're standing like twice or thrice, right? At least if you're watching it on TV, you see the whole circuit.
Yeah.
So I don't get the appeal of it.
So even I don't get the appeal. I think it is stupidly dangerous that when something goes wrong, like happened with Schumacher, it goes so wrong that I don't know. Or you will just die if something goes wrong. He went into coma and has not been seen since, because he's under rehabilitation in his home. God knows what state he's in. So I just find it an absurd kind of sport, whatever, interest, hobby. But I get it from a car maker's point of view, that Ferrari or a Maserati and all. So his main passion was racing cars. Even he was a race
car driver.
So I think that part, the madness of why his focus is only on racing cars and not on actually making cars, which is different now. It's a different time for Ferrari now. That comes through very well. I felt his relationship with her, with Laura Ferrari, that was very well done.
I think Penelope Cruz is really good in this. Like, she has a few scenes, but she kills it every time.
She's really good.
There's a whole thing going on between her mother-in-law and her and her husband. So that's also very well done.
And that whole thing of that Italian passionate women who, like, because he gives her a gun, which is not a wise move. Like his mother says, why would you give her a gun? Like she's unhinged, don't give her a gun. And so I felt the personal relationship thing was very well done. I did not much care for all the conversation on cars and why they wanted to racing cars and so on. Then again, when that massive, so this is no secret, but during the race, during the media, there was a massive accident which happened with a Ferrari car, and where 9 people died, bystanders who were watching died. That I think is, but I'm a little gruesome. I like morbid things, like suddenly a body flying, like, I don't know. But I thought that was done also the way they show how he reaches the site, and he is, he's not there at the victory run part of it. He's at the site, and that whole crisis management, that why did this happen? And because everyone was reporting it as Ferrari is, it was called the Widowmaker anyway. So I felt the history, everything was very well woven in, and it kept my interest, which it's nowadays, I feel I've become either old or I become like a teenager. So my interest just, like my attention vanishes very quickly. So that didn't happen. I did find, so I found the car racing parts a little, I get bored in those parts. But it worked for me. But you did not like it.
No, so I thought that, again, like you mentioned, the domestic aspect of it, I was kind of into.
Yeah.
Because maybe because we've been brought up on a staple diet of daily soaps or what it is. But the, like you said, the whole Ferrari as a company struggling and what they should do to win. And the film is structured in a way that that last race that happens, the 1957 race that you mentioned, that's like a do or die situation for Enzo Ferrari. Like if he doesn't win this, then they might go bankrupt. I thought, I didn't feel the stakes in those until that accident sequence happens. I think, which is, I think the like the last half an hour of the film, that's when I think the film really pulls you in. But by that time, I think it's been quite late for me. So I thought if they had somehow maintained that the stakes of Enzo Ferrari's life and so much is at stake for him, I could never feel that, oh, this is a man who is really struggling internally in his life, but he's trying to put up a front that, oh no, everything's cool and there's no problems here. But towards the end, I agree, the film really gets you by the collar, because something as gruesome has happened and then he has to be answerable for it. But I don't know, maybe it's a very grown-up film. There's barely any humor in the film. Yeah, there's no snappy dialogue. It's a very,
it's a heavy calm, film. Slow. And it's a bit of a heavy film.
So yeah, I was in and out of the film. I think it's good that the runtime is like 2 hours and I think 9 minutes or so. So it's not very long. But I was like, at least either give me, even though I'm not in cars, either give me that Mad Max type revving up the engines, you know, that race car adrenaline, or give me like full on melodrama of the family. I thought the film tried to do both, but could, in my opinion, could land either.
But tell me, did you watch Ford versus Ferrari?
No, I've not seen it, but I've heard good things about it.
Yeah, so Ford versus Ferrari, the racing of the cars, all that, it's another race that they show. It's not, as far as I remember, it wasn't these cars. It was different. They were not these racing cars that were shown in that film. Yeah. I might be incorrect. But that is very, like the way they show the car racing is very different. Like you get into it when you're watching. That was an excellent film, in fact. Okay. I also feel the whole, that maybe I'm just being like a sentimental fool. At the end, when they say that when Laura Ferrari dies, Piero Ferrari, like his son gets his second son gets his surname, and till today is the CEO of the company.
Correct.
So you realize how recent all these events are, right? Because when you're looking at it, it looks like it's almost like a period film when you compare it to what we are, where we are living right now. But so,
I mean, the thing that makes you realize of the the periodness of it is, of course, the race itself. Like today, when you see F1 races, it's also high tech. It's also cutting edge, right? Whereas these cars are, of course, and even I didn't know this, but apparently two people used to sit in cars.
One is a navigator.
Which I had no idea about. But this reminded me of another Adam Driver film, House of Gucci. Have you seen House of Gucci?
Yes. So in House of Gucci, I felt he overacted though. Okay. Like I felt he was a little... But maybe he was supposed to be that Gucci family that film, is a little off also. So
everybody's was given a brief in that film to overact because this guy, Lady Gaga is there and Jared Leto, who's playing the...
Is Penelope Cruz there also? Or Salma Hayek is there? Salma Hayek is there.
I don't remember. Maybe Salma. Yes, Salma Hayek is in the film.
And she also, they are all overacting in that. Like, it's a little bold and beautiful, the way House of Gucci was done.
Very much.
You know,
yes,
they look in their version of Kyunki Saas Bhi Kabhi Paothi.
Yes.
It's a little over the top. But I maybe right after that, they cast him. So he kept his Italian accent.
That might be true. So actually, I read up on this and I found some trivia. Mm-hmm. Is that initially Christian Bale was set to play the role. And then that didn't work out. So at one point, Michael Mann was actually associated with directing Ford versus Ferrari, which does have Christian Bale. But then he left that film as well. And he's been trying to make this film for a really long time. Mm-hmm. And actually, the screenplay writer who's credited with the screenplay actually passed away in 2009. So this script has been going around. The script has been going around Hollywood since that time. And then finally, it was out last year. So yeah.
So I did think they should have been nominated for an Oscar.
I think Penelope Cruz for sure.
I find it odd that they were totally, like, there was no mention of Ferrari, right? But so it's on Amazon Prime. If anyone wants to watch it, I would recommend watching it. And if you're, especially if you're an F1 fan or an auto fan and all, watch it because it will be more fun for you than it was for us. Although it wasn't that bad for me, at least, I feel. But we have a letter. Let's read a letter first and then we will get Webherb has written. Hi, this letter is with reference to episode 346 where Nainika describes Ravi Kishan's evil to good change in Mamla Legal Hai. The same is shown in Lapata Ladies too. So I think it's just one of the conditions that Ravi Kishan has in his contract. Love the show as always. Thanks, Webherb. Thank you, Webherb. So what would you like to discuss next?
We talk about Ripley.
Yes.
The show that you've fallen in love with.
Yes, I really thought it was very well shot. So Ripley is based on people who watch. Have you watched The Talented Mr. Ripley?
No, I have not. No.
I think it's there on Amazon or something. Just check because
I think it's on Netflix itself.
Yeah, so you should watch it because it is such a spectacularly made film. And Matt Damon. So Matt Damon plays Ripley. Jude Law plays Dickie, Richard Greenleaf, and Gwyneth Paltrow plays this one's character. What is her name? Margot's character. And it's just very well, but that is a film, of course. And that was, I think, in 1998 or 99.
I think it's 99.
So it's way back. So after that, they have made Ripley, which, by the way, when I saw the poster of, I'm a big fan. Anyone who's watched Fleabag and is a woman is a big fan of Hot Priest. So I was like, oh, Hot Priest is making something. I must watch this. But I didn't realize it's Talented Mr. Ripley. I thought maybe it's a biopic or a series on Ripley's Believe It or Not.
Yeah,
I swear.
That crossed my
mind
as well.
Yeah, I was like, oh, it's black and white. It must be Ripley's Believe It or Not. Then I realized, no, I was letting my imagination get away with me. So Andrew Scott plays Ripley in this.
Ripley, yes.
Yeah. And what is her name? She's very well known also. Dakota Fanning plays Margot, and Maurizio Lombardi plays the detective, the main detective who will, I don't know, in the first two episodes, does the main detective come on?
I don't think so. Definitely not in the first episode.
Yeah,
second episode, I'm trying to remember.
So Ripley is based on Patricia Highsmith's book And books, yeah. And if you haven't read her books and short stories, I'd she's really, really good. Her stories, short stories especially, are really well written. And
she writes thrillers, right?
Yeah, thrillers, okay. Mystery thriller, that kind of thing. Okay. But yeah. Really, really well written books and short stories.
Yeah. I've never tried it, but she's one of those authors who's always, her books, you always find them in secondhand bookstores and everywhere.
She's everywhere, absolutely. So in this, they have what is interesting. It's a 7-8-part series. It's an 8-part series. It's around 50 minutes of each episode is that much. The entire thing is shot in black and white. And it is, honestly, each frame, if you pause it, is like a picture. So I kept thinking that they must have storyboarded it because it's too perfect. Like if he's sitting on the stairs, it's anything. If they are standing in the subway, the way it's been shot, it's very, very beautifully done. The director is Steven Zalian and the cinematographer is Robert Elswit. And you should just watch it even if you watch one episode, just for the cinematography is riveting. But the way, I while watching the talented Mr. Ripley was also coming back to me, but the way the story is scripted and basically Ripley is sent to Italy by Richard Greenleaf's parents, father, Richard Greenleaf is this rich heir who is not really in touch with his parents, but he has a trust fund. And he is living in Italy and just doing his own thing. So the parents find Ripley, who is essentially a con man. But he basically does whatever he needs to make money. So he pretends to be a friend of Dickie's and he goes to Italy. And then when he meets him, he ingratiates himself into Dickie's world and slowly what happens, I don't want to give it away if you haven't watched it or haven't read the book, because this is really something if you give it away, you've given it away totally. But I don't know, can we say what he does as in the initial thing?
I mean, I understand it's something to do with identity theft or something along those lines.
So it's identity theft, and then he's clearly a sociopath. But it's a very, very intelligent sociopath at work. But the unraveling of the story is very, very well done here. It's a little slow. It's not fast-paced. And I think and it's because it's black and white. There's a lot of blood and gore, but you don't get that, because it's all in black and white.
It's not gory, they didn't know that you prefer severed heads.
Yeah, they didn't realize that. Why is someone not losing an arm like that?
But now that you've seen both the versions, and I know there'll be some recency bias to this one because you just saw it. But of course, out of the two, which one do you think tells the story better, the film or the show?
I felt the film says it better. I also feel the film stayed more true to the story. Over here, there are parts of it which I don't remember it now. See, I read the book so long back that I don't remember. It was called something. The books were called. It's a
I think
compendium.
The series was there's a Ripley series.
Yeah,
of books
Ripley series. Yeah, Replayed. Yeah. It was called Replayed, as in it's referred to as Replayed. But so the film is a truer accounting of the recounting of the book. And just Matt Damon and Jude Law and Gwyneth Paltrow.
Yeah, that's a very 90s star cast.
Yeah, and Matt Damon is this gone. He doesn't look like good-looking Matt Damon, basically. He looks like someone who's hungry for a better, who's hungry also, actually. He looks hungry, he could do with some food. And you can see why Jude Law seems so attractive to him. This, I just felt Andrew Scott is so attractive himself in a certain way that that part gets I found him better looking than Dickie. So in the original one, Jude Law is stunning looking with his blue eyes, and he's got that laid back, very like, I'm part of the old rich money. That all comes through very well in the casting of the earlier one.
Of the film, yeah.
That fascination with, there's a fascination with Caravaggio, which is played through in the, which will get drawn out in the series when you watch it, which is very interestingly done in this series. That why Caravaggio plays such a, and his paintings play such a large part in Andrew Scott's in Ripley's Eye. But I, like, you know what they'd managed to do? They'd managed to tie up all the loopholes.
Right.
So that was, and by setting it so far back, that whole thing that pictures are not easily available. All that was dealt with very easily by, like, unless someone gives you an actual picture of a person, there aren't pictures of people floating around. It's whatever you claim the person is. No?
Yeah, I read somewhere that Hollywood is now making more period films than ever before, because setting anything in current times is so difficult because social media has made everything very easy to find out.
Social
and
media
uncover.
And that you have mobile phones. No? You can't mobile say phones, I couldn't call up someone because I was stuck somewhere.
Exactly.
You'll never get surprised by anyone because you will get a message on your mobile phone or a WhatsApp.
Yeah,
but the film which I had really liked, did you watch Gattaca?
I did. I have seen it long ago.
Long time, no?
I remember a long time ago. I don't remember much of it, but it's that space film with Uma Thurman, am I correct?
And this one, what's his
Ethan
name?
Hawk,
Ethan
Hawke, I think.
Ethan Hawke.
Yes.
And I remember, so even that I remember... They show how DNA can be stolen through your, like, through the nail cuttings and all that. I remember that scene very clearly. But that also has Jude Law. Maybe that's why I'm remembering it as well. But no, so I really liked Ripley, but I felt it had, you need to get into it a little bit. Because I started watching it around 2 weeks back, actually. And I watched one episode and then I was like, okay, like, it's fine.
Yeah, no, same. I remember, I mean, we've spoken about this with an episode on with Nanika also. And back then also I had seen two episodes and even now I've seen two episodes.
That's the
so
thing.
Yeah, it is something you need to, it's a slow burn. So yeah, you
yeah,
need to get into
it. Yeah, that's
the
thing. So Ripley is on Netflix. It's, you have to take out 8 hours of your, from your life and watch it though.
Yes.
And be very patient while doing so, because it's not one of those. But I have to say the last three episodes, when, you know, it, everyone's out looking for him and trying to figure out what exactly has happened, they really pick up. So you have to, obviously, because you would see him, like, he's constantly having to think of how to be one step ahead of the law, basically. So I quite liked it. And I think Hot Priest is good in anything, actually. That's the thing. But we have one announcement to make. The, as you all know, the elections are taking place as we speak. The first phase has, of voting has already taken place, but News Laundry has tied up with News Minute and is going to bring stories from the ground. And the TNM, it's called the TNM NL Election Fund, and it's going to take a lot of resources for to have more than 15 reporters, producers, editors from both teams on the ground covering various states. Manisha, Atul, Dhanya and Shridipto will be on ground speaking to the videos have already are already up on News Laundry. But please support and contribute to the fund whatever amount that, that you want to. You have to head to newslaundry.com/2024-election fund to make the contribution. And you should do so because God knows what is going to happen after the results, which I think are quite certain what is going to happen, what results will happen. What will happen after is also quite clear. But we are going to discuss Avesham, which I wanted to see, which is Fahad, like Hot Priest. I think Hot Fahad Fasil is also.
Hot Fahad, yes.
Yeah. Fahad Fasil.
He's a phenomena.
Yeah. Yes. He's a phenomena, really. So Fahad Fasil is in this and it's, he is starring alongside Nazria Nazim and Anwar Rashid. And the movie is directed by Jeetu Madhavan, who's not our Madhavan's brother, I'm assuming.
I hope not.
I hope not.
Because both their filmographies are very different. Oh. So Jeetu Madhavan actually made one of my favorite films from last year also.
Okay.
It was a Malayalam film called Romancham.
Okay.
Which is actually a haunted house film, but unlike any other haunted house film I've seen.
Uh-huh.
Because the haunted house is essentially a house where some 7-8 bachelors live together. So that's a separate recommendation that you should check out. But Avesham, I think for me, was one of the most fun times I've had in the movie theater this year.
Okay.
Because the film essentially, it's about these three boys who are Malayalam boys, Malayali boys who've come to Bangalore to study.
Okay.
So the film is set in Bangalore. A bit of nostalgic feel for me also because I also studied in Bangalore. But the whole thing is, so they're studying in an engineering college. So there's this whole senior-junior rivalry where the group of seniors rag these boys. And they're like, we need to get back at them. We can't just let them get away with it. What is this?
Yeah.
So they go out on a quest to find a local gangster who can help them get back at the seniors.
Huh.
So there's a whole montage sequence where they're hitting all the shady bars in Bangalore to find one local gangster who can come help them. But they're not able to find anybody. Until one night where these three boys, and I love the way, like, this whole thing, right? The hero entry in South Indian films, right? So these three boys are at a urinal peeing and they're discussing what should we do, how should we do. And then suddenly they hear this one voice from behind saying, brother, can I borrow your lighter?
Huh.
And then suddenly you see Fahad Fasil's face enter the frame and he has a cigarette dangling from his mouth and he uses the cigarette of the other boy's cigarette to light it. And they're standing at a urinal. So make what you want of this whole situation. So, but then Fahad Fasil is introduced. And Fahad Fasil plays this character called Ranga, who I think is one of the most colorful gangsters put on screen in Indian cinema. So Ranga is this, you know, this, you always have these local goons, right? Whose myth is bigger than what you see, right? There's this always this myth, oh, he killed so many people with one dagger and suddenly overnight he became this sensation. So they listen to all these, and he has this massive gang full of really, really violent men. And they all have stories about him, but they never see him as this man who would fight, or he's always directing people how to fight and what to do, but they never see him taking violence, like actually being violent. So they keep wondering, is he really the gangster they make it out to be? Is he being exaggerated? Anyway, they tell him the plan. They're like, we want to get back at our senior. And then that thing happens, and that's just the first half.
Okay.
So Malayalam films have this thing where the conflict which is introduced in the start of the film actually resolves itself by the interval point.
Okay.
Yeah. And then post-interval, there's this whole new sort of aspect of the story that comes out.
Huh.
Where these three boys who are actually here to study engineering find themselves becoming gangsters more and more.
Oh.
So they have to face the wrath of the college principal, their own parents, where they're like, we sent you to study. And I don't know how to explain it, but there's this very weird sort of brotherly love that this gangster has towards these boys.
Yeah.
They're like, we can't leave him also because we like him. Also, he's dangerous.
Yeah.
But then we are also here to study. So
it's like Stockholm Syndrome a little bit.
It is. Huh. And that is sort of, the parallels to that is that this gang of very violent sort of, dangerous gangsters.
Yeah.
They also have like a camaraderie between them, right? Like whenever something emotional happens.
Yeah. These.
Like they're playing to entertain themselves. They play dumb charades. Okay. Like these gangsters who are violent and cutting people up. Suddenly they're guessing films and what to guess and what not to guess. So it's a very, very, it's one of those things which is very meta in that it does the thing, like it's parodying these gangster films, but then it is also hitting all the notes of being a good gangster film. So I think Fahad Fasil is absolutely phenomenal in the film. I think he's dancing, he's singing. He also wants to be a social media star, so he keeps making reels on Instagram.
Oh, he makes reels also, So it's basically a comedy. It's a comedy.
It's an action comedy. It's
action comedy.
Yes. So when the action sequences happen, they're choreographed very well. And they actually reminds you of like the kung fu films of the 70s and 80s. So when it's action, it's really good action. When it's comedy, it's a riotous comedy. So please watch it.
Sounds very good.
It's everything, like, you know, I think it encapsulates that local goon that every Indian town has very well.
But that the local goon has a heart. And he's a sweet guy.
The local goon has a heart. Then there's something that happens in the end, which I would not like to spoil, which I think, again, is done pitch perfect when you actually find out what is the backstory of the gangsters. So, yeah, this is only in
theaters right now, though. Right?
It's only in theaters right now, yes.
Okay. So I think that's also quite remarkable that nowadays all these Mallu films and Tam films and all release in Delhi, and which no one used to watch anything which was Madrasi, as they used to say earlier.
Yes.
And people are, it's clearly their audiences, because they are running in theaters for around 2 weeks at least, they usually run.
Absolutely, yeah.
So I must go and watch this then, because I'm never sure till I hear a review properly whether to bother.
It's absolute like fun time in the cinema.
Okay, so we haven't done, like, slightly awful, we've only said for one thing, which is Ferrari. Otherwise, it's been quite awesome.
Quite awesome, yes.
I'm so allergic to that statement, I had to sneeze, sorry.
You found some awful comments came your way, I think, for something you had
so
reviewed.
Someone ticked me off, but I wasn't at fault, okay? Hi, Sumit Gill wrote, "Hi, Rajeshri, just one point regarding your Chamkila review. I might be wrong, but you need to understand the craze of Chamkila to review the movie. First time in a long, long time, I don't agree with your review. Punjab of 80s, this man was something." So I'm just saying, I did not review it because, like Abhinandan, for once I had not watched something at all. And Sumit also says, Chamkila as a character in real life had a lot of flaws, but ultimately at the end of the day, he sang what masses wanted to hear. Almost 40 years after his death, his music is still being heard. Just imagine. So I'm going to try and watch it. I still find it difficult to take Diljit in that wig seriously, and Pariniti Chopra, though, I find difficult to take from the time she joined Bollywood only. But for the sake of our art, which is this podcast, I will try. I can't promise, though.
I actually quite like Chamkila. I did have some issues with the blurring of lines between reality and fiction. So there are sequences in the film where he actually cuts back to real footage that exists of those. And then there are times where he actually deliberately makes the fictional filming of the film seem like it's old footage. So in some sequences, it's the actual Chamkila as archival footage. And then there are some places where Diljit dressed as Chamkila is suddenly made grainy to seem like it's old footage.
Okay.
So I think
like that.
Yeah, so there are some... those choices which I thought were a little little dicey. But overall, I actually quite enjoyed the film. I'm not the most knowledgeable when it comes to the real Chamkila's music. So I understand that it holds a very special place to a lot of
people. Yeah, and the caste politics of his music and all. So I just got a lecture from Abhinandan about the caste. So I was like, okay, I'm going to talk about Ferrari now. So this is too little too late. But I will watch it. And if this is not true that it's a good film, I will get back to everyone about this. But we will be back next time, next week, with more God knows awful or awesome stuff. It's anybody's guess right now. But I would like to thank our producer Shubhang and our recordist Anil, because I always forget, and I'm very sorry that I forget because I'm just badly brought up. And thank you, Abbas.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Miss Sen.
Now I have to say your surname also. Thank you, Mr. Moman. Now you see.
You're most welcome.
Now you might as well. And it's a wrap.
Thank you for your subscription. You're changing the world by changing the way news is funded. For the smoothest news laundry experience, download the News Laundry app. It is the best way to listen to our paywall podcasts. And you'll also get access to all free News Laundry shows. Keep us ad-free and subscriber-funded. Help us grow. Tell people who listen to you to pay to keep news free. Subscribe to News Laundry. Keep journalism independent.